Turning to Trinity County, as reported in last night's edition of the KMUD Local News, the August Complex, California's largest wildfire in modern history, impacted our entire community. However, no one was hit harder than the residents of Trinity County. This unprecedented gigafire was caused by multiple lightning strikes in the Mendocino National Forest in August. However, by September, the fire had spread into an uncontrollable state. The Mendocino National Forest initially told KMUD News back in August 2020 that they were using the lightning fire to manage the forest, which has been a common method for time immemorial. However, Trinity County residents believe that allowing the fire to spread into other Forest Service districts may have been an act of negligence, resulting in the loss of over 200 homes in Trinity County. The massive wildfire burned in five other counties, including Glen, Lake, Mendocino, Tehama, and Shasta. However, Trinity County faced the most devastation. Frustrated by the lack of accountability and assistance from officials, Madison O'Farrell, an August Complex survivor who lost her home, has been organizing a community movement to file a tort claim against the Forest Service. A tort claim was a law enacted by legislature with the intent to protect government from liability in certain personal injury cases. However, if you are successful in your claim against the government, you can be awarded financial compensation for your injuries and losses. Assisting O'Farrell is Chad Heaton, a licensed forester who was born and raised in Ruth and was even hired as a contractor by the Forest Service during the August Complex. Although specifics could not be disclosed, Heaton believes that the tort claim is valid and is also helping community members. KMUD News took a trip to the community of Ruth on Saturday, April 10th, and recorded the highlights from their latest meeting. On Tuesday's edition of the KMUD Local News, we aired part one of this meeting, and tonight we share part two. Madison O'Farrell began the second half of the meeting by outlining what she believes are valid claims against the Forest Service.
Okay, perfect. So the basis of this case, in the case of the August Complex fire, we have two points of admitted fault. We do have more that we have found along the way, but these are the two that we have to start with and ones that, to my knowledge, caused the most amount of damage. So in the beginning, we had the fire started by lightning strike in Mendocino. Normal occurrence. But that fire, they wanted to turn it into a controlled burn during conditions that were not adequate for that, nor did they have the preparations needed to make it that. So when Trinity County petitioned Mendocino to put it out, they ignored them. And we have it now on video, them ignoring the request and talking with the community about the fire. So we are going to be gathering all the official documents for this. It'll be about midsummer because we have to petition it through the Freedom of Information Act. So it's going to be a minute, but before you file that claim, check in with us to get those official documents. You won't need all of the evidence, but just where it applies to your property. Because the case begins in the beginning of this fire, the whole August Complex fire, including all five counties, apply to this case.
Trinity County residents also believe that the Forest Service lit a backburn on Rattlesnake Summit during a red flag warning, which resulted in the loss of much of Ruth.
So we also have, for this area specifically, the backburn that was started on Rattlesnake Creek on South Fork that burnt down the mountain through Ruth, jumped the lake, and burned through Hettenshaw, and I believe part of Kevin Paul. So that alone is what took out most of our communities and a lot of Six Rivers National Forest. And then the good news is, unfortunately it's not soon enough, but the Alaskan team is banned from the area. They are not allowed to come back. So I don't know exactly what disciplinary action they were given, but I do know that they are no longer allowed to come back to this region.
KMUD News would like to note that both of these claims have yet to be proven officially. When KMUD News spoke with Trinity County fire victims last year, some did not want help. However, O'Farrell shared a message for those folks.
The case needs people coming forward, which, as you know, now Facebook's about 200 people. We need more. I mean, we're getting better, but those statements are really important at this point. It's one per adult, and the claims are one per parcel. The more people that give statements and submit claims, the more chance we have of compensation. We need strong voice. So even if you don't need the compensation at this point, it is still helping those that need this claim to go through, that need this claim to work, that makes it worth filing for everyone else.
Sadly, some of the evacuated homes were burglarized during the order to leave.
So there was a lot of theft you can list, but unfortunately, if it burnt after the fact, then there's a gray area of who knows what actually burnt and who doesn't. But at that point, theft is not actually at the fault of the Forest Service.
Sure.
So it, unfortunately.
Another organizer, Chad Heaton, is a licensed contractor and is helping residents get the information they need for the claim.
And what we are doing is we are basically giving everybody a square foot cost. You know, I'm going and measuring the size of your house, the type of building you had, and then coming up with a square foot value on an approximate estimation of what it would cost now to rebuild that. So as far as the contractors go, it's just a matter of them coming out, you know, assessing the size of your building and stuff. We're not going to have to give a complete line item breakdown of everything involved. It's just a square footage price is the way that we are rolling with it at this point.
So you're talking about places that are still standing.
We're talking about places that are completely burnt down.
Completely burnt
now,
down.
If there is fire or smoke damage and we need to come in and deal with that, that's going to be a little more extensive as far as an estimation goes.
So for each assessment, you need 2 signed assessments by competing disinterested and licensed individuals. For a house, it's going to be the realtor and contractor combination we talked of before. But then you're also going to have your list of personal items that were in your home. For partial damage, it's easiest to use contractors. You're going to say, how much will it be to repair this damage? And you're going to get 2 separate quotes. These need to be exact numbers. They cannot be wishy-washy. So you need something to say $12,800, not an estimate of maybe it'll be $12,000. This needs to be an exact number on letterhead that they sign their name to. And they put their license number and their full name so that it is legally valid. And this cannot be a relative of any kind. You cannot work for this person. They have to be disinterested.
Heaton also shares information on recording the loss of timber.
The timber one's going to be fairly difficult. The reason for that is the requirements for the 2 licensed foresters. The process for the timber is that the foresters have to cruise timber. They have a very specific regimen that they're required by the state to use as far as calculating them and proving that their estimate on the timber is going to be correct. That being said, the cost of your average timber cruise is going to be between $2,000 and $4,000. Unfortunately, just like with everything else on this, you need 2 competing bids. And then on top of that, as far as if you're going to be logging or anything like that, the cost of the whole process, although now with the emergency exemptions and stuff is down, it's still a fairly expensive process. I would say that if you...
If you have less than $30,000 worth of timber that would you'd be logging, I wouldn't recommend going ahead with a compensation.
No,
I'd just salvage log and go from there.
Yeah, I would just salvage log and go with it at that point. Also, when it comes to if you're going to salvage log it, you know, just know that within the next 3 to 4 months, anything with a small diameter of under, say, 8 inches, the mills are going to refuse. So as the further we progress away from the fire, the pickier the mills are going to be.
O'Farrell elaborated on the loss of livestock and agricultural crops.
So livestock, it's basically if you lost livestock, any records that you have of that livestock, bill of sale, pictures, brand inspection records, ranch operation records, they're not all required. The more you got, the better. But obviously a lot of that stuff burnt. But if you have a head count, then I'd submit that. Permitted crop loss. So this is new, we're attempting on it. If you have permitted crop loss, and it must be permitted, then you can ask the dispensary or whoever your licensed dealer that you are going to sell to for 2 quotes for that, whether it was smoke damaged or whether it was a full loss, you can submit for that. If you're non-permitted, here's the disclaimer. You cannot grow on that property again if you want to file this claim, because there is a federal inspection involved. If you choose that you're not going to grow on that property again, clean up the greenhouse or whatever evidence it is, and you can go ahead and file. But that's the warning because this crosses, it's no longer just a county bus, this is federal. I wouldn't recommend it.
O'Farrell went on to share more in-depth information about the process of filing a tort claim and created informational packets for attendees.
Item description, how much it is to replace, and then find, we found web links are easiest now. I originally said pictures, takes up way too much room. Put the web link of where you found that replaceable item. If it's a more expensive, if you're thinking it's over $2,000, you need quotes and estimates to prove that that item is worth that. So if you lost solar, if you lost water systems, if you, a hot tub, things like that.
Generators.
Things that are pricey, get estimates. And at least two of them, which usually are free, to prove that you're owed that amount of money. And then vehicles, they just need make and model and year. You can get a copy of the title from DMV or a copy of the registration. They don't need both.
Whatever was a tractor.
Then whatever brand of tractor that is, I'd get the replacement value or quote for it.
Okay.
Yes.
What if it's something that was already on the property when you purchased it? Like there's no title to it. There's no registration.
Then I'd get a like item that you can find online.
It's still yours. You know, it was a loss. So if you can, like she said,
some form of replacement, like Junior Barnes. I mean, any of that, you just get the replacement value. If it's expensive, I'd get two numbers. So when you are adding up your total, you're not going to use both numbers. You are only going to add, I'd preferably add the higher one, of whatever those quotes are. And then that is going to be your exact total. On 12D, you must add an exact number or they don't have to pay you. Because that is the number that you are saying that they owe you.
And that's accumulation of all the numbers combined. You take your highest of your quotes, is what we would recommend. It's what I'm going to do for me. Take the highest quote of everything, your list of all the personals you lost, all that kind of stuff, and that last number needs to be the total of absolutely everything. This is the number that you're shooting for that you want.
It's okay if the claim seems complicated. At this point, it really is. It's not easy to do, but we try to make it as painless as possible, and if you still have questions or individual needs that apply to you, like I said, I do have a schedule out there.
Organizers will be meeting with residents once again on May 15th at 1 p.m. at the Ruth Community Church. Residents will have computers handy to assist those filing their claims.
I'd start with personal items and get the contractors and the assessors lined out because it's going to take you a lot of time to realize exactly what you had and to go room by room and remember exactly what you lost, because even now we're remembering things that we forgot to put. Like, I forgot to put that there was a mattress on the bed, just because it's not something you think about. But it, and if you have pictures, it helps. If not, then you're just going to have to ask people who visited, ask those that lived with you, what can you remember for this room?
What about that? I had a 6-foot gun safe that had thousands of dollars missing in it that was lost.
You can still claim for that, and it's replacement value. So you are claiming that federally, so just how much ammunition you want to claim that you had is up to you.
Yeah. And we're here to help you guys, you know, in every way we can. We're all in this together.
For all the information I found and read, this should be on track, but all those nitty-gritty details, I should have more of that coming in the next couple of weeks.
I never realized, I guess I did, but I never really thought how big, you know, this is the biggest fire ever in California.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So how many people is going to be joining us?
So there's an official count for the incident report was 935 structures, but I found that count was actually incorrect. Dan Frazier said that our structure count for Trinity County was well over 900, with resident loss of 230 homes. But that does include the Zog Fire, which Happy Camp lost a lot of concentrated residences. Tehama lost 3, Glen lost 10, Lakeport won't get back to me yet, I've tried. And Shasta, to my knowledge, was only forest that burnt in the corner. So locally, we had 38 residences.
Full-time
residences and 72 leaf floods.
But then, that doesn't include
other
private properties that were second homes or anything
so
like that.
So for Trinity, we're looking at
and
Trinity.
That was what we knew of, you know, from personal friends and stuff that lost.
So our group isn't that big compared to the actual fire.
So I'm doing a talk in Mendocino on the 17th in Covelo to try and get that portion of the fire. It's supposed to be about 50 people. So we're collecting. We're trying and it's building.
At the beginning of the meeting, O'Farrell and Heaton stated that the Forest Service had admitted fault. So at the end of the meeting, myself and another attendee asked if there was any verification of the allegations.
Did they admit it publicly?
The one that I will say where they admitted fault was on the backfire burn on the 27th.
Rattlesnake.
And on the Rattlesnake Creek.
That's what took all our places. That's
why. But there was
told me that.
They have some more stuff going on over on the initial site over there on the Mendo Shasta T with the burnout that they did on, I believe it was Raspberry Gulch, over there, and where that one got away from them. Same type of incidents, firing off on a red flag day. So we have at least two incidences where they have admitted guilt, and there is lots of other witnesses and stuff dealing with, you know, right around here. I have multiple witnesses that watched them fire off right in behind us right now after we worked for 2 weeks to get it put out. So, but as far as when they have admitted fault in at least the one over on
Forest Service was routes. Sending out those. We were all forced out and didn't know that we could stay. And I mean, we had companies or couples that were in their mid-70s that stayed and saved their houses.
Unfortunately, the ones that stayed are not all of them were able to save their homes because
the point is the Forest Service, they blamed the people who stayed.
They did.
And said that they had to save, what was it, 80-some-odd, 81 people?
I think it was 60-something.
And get them out to the client AA.
And the thing about that is that number matched the people who had fled to the AA. And after I heard that, I went around and asked the people that were at the AA, I said, were you saved? Did they come save you?
Not
a single person that was down there said that they were assisted in any way. So they threw the locals under the bus and blamed them.
Yeah.
And then they pulled the video down where they said that. We couldn't access it after that.
The organizers are convinced that the Forest Service is at fault. However, they did not provide substantial proof. So KMA News utilized a credible, anonymous source who was directly involved in the August complex and has insider knowledge. According to the source, the Forest Service admitting fault is still a rumor, and if it is true, it is certainly not in writing. However, there may be a video. The source stated that unlike CAL FIRE, whose crews spend 24 hours a day on a fire, Forest Service crews clock out at a certain time, no matter the conditions on the ground. Quote, when their shift is done, they split, end quote. Something the source said had been their motto for over 40 years. However, they stated that the organizers' claims could be valid, especially considering that for the first time in Forest Service history, they are making a new designation or job title, officially calling certain employees firefighters instead of forest technicians, and will be subject to the Fair Labor Standards Act, or FLSA. As far as the claim that the Alaskan Incident Management Team isn't allowed back, the source stated that it's likely true, because firefighters were upset that the National Forest brought in a team from Alaska, as that crew is used to a different fuel model and fire behavior. Notably, KMA News reached out to multiple National Forest representatives in Six Rivers, Shasta, and Mendocino, by email and by phone. However, our request for information has yet to be returned as of news time. KMA News will continue to investigate this topic.